Good evening and welcome to South Parade's carol service, Carols by Candlelight. My name is Jeff King. I'm part of the ministry team here at South Parade. In the event of a fire, which can't see how that would possibly happen, there are fire escapes on this side. Watch the choir, they'll be out like a shot. There's a fire escape on this side and also the main entrance that you used coming in. Toilets are through that door on my right. There will be refreshments at the end of the service, so please stay and spend some time with us. We won't have an offering during the course of the service, but we're going to introduce to you a charity which is based in the Middle East, and we're going to take a retiring offering for that charity. We're going to encourage you to support it, and so you'll have the opportunity to give on your way out. The service will be unannounced. There'll be items from the choir and from the music group, and you'll receive a prompt as words come up on the screen for congregational carols and songs. So we'll start with our first carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Dream. Why Bethlehem? Our story starts in a small and unfashionable town, little more than a suburb of the capital, Jerusalem. Not the sort of place to visit, not the sort of place where anything special happened. It was the sort of place you passed through on your way to somewhere important. The Prince of Peace, the light of the world, coming from this small town, making it famous. Who could have foreseen it? It was announced like this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanks for all your goodness to us. Each day we enjoy a whole list of things that you do for us and the ways in which you care for us. We thank you, Father, particularly for this time of the year and the joy that it brings to us, for the gift of your Son and all the blessings that are associated with that. Thank you, Father, that you invite us into a relationship with you. You make it possible for us to know you. We confess, Father, that the problems are all on our side. We present the obstacles. We are the ones who have the difficulties. We pray that you would forgive us and that you would restore us again. We would bring before you, Father, those who face particularly difficulties, those who are caught up in larger events over which they have no control, those who are experiencing the troubles of life. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and that you'd bless them. And we ask now for your blessing upon this time that we spend together. We pray you would be with us and you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to introduce Gaz to you. And he's going to talk to us about a Middle Eastern-based charity.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. It's inevitable, isn't it, at this time of year that we think about the Middle East. And we think particularly about Bethlehem and Jerusalem. I've had a wonderful pleasure over a number of years of going to the Middle East many times. Bethlehem, maybe 10 times I've been to, and it has a real special place in my heart. And when we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, I picture the city and the town and the fields and the people in my mind, and I think about them. And it's a good time of year, isn't it, for us to think together about the Middle East. So I just want to tell you for a few minutes about this charity called Just Act Middle East. It's a small charity, but it's a growing charity. It's set up by five trustees who run it, and two of those trustees is myself and my wife. We're members here of South Parade. Another trustee was a member of South Parade years ago, he's now in Manchester. So five of us together run this charity called Just Act Middle East. What is it that we do? Well, it says here our vision is for a more inclusive Middle East, one in which a person's ethnicity, disability, religion or nationality don't pose a barrier to them fulfilling their God-given potential. And what is our mission? It's to nurture hope. And don't we think so much about hope at this time of year? Christ came into the world. He brought us hope. We as a charity think that our mission is to nurture hope amongst the marginalised, and by partnering with people locally who know best how to work there, who can provide for the needs of their people around them. And we're working in the area of social inclusion, social exclusion, preventing social exclusion, obviously. We have a number of values, and I'm not going to read you all these words here. You can see the key words here are those of justice and compassion and humility. And just in that reading we just had, we talked about God will bring justice. We know Jesus was a compassionate person. He suffered, and we can suffer alongside him. Compassion. And Jesus was humble. And we as a charity are trying to show humility as we build relationships with our partners working in the Middle East. I'm sure at this time of year you get a lot of information from a lot of charities. You'll see people in the streets in town. Maybe you'll see the Salvation Army. You'll get appeal letters through your door, or maybe those annoying phone calls from charities wanting you to give money. So why should you listen to me? What makes us different? Well, there's a number of things that make us different as a charity. And one of those is this, that 100% of any donation that's given to us goes directly to the organisations we work with. There's no deduction for administration or anything. All donations go directly to the local partners. And we also don't tell them how to spend their money. We don't say, here's £100, you have to buy 10 wheelchairs. They may have a cupboard full of wheelchairs. They may not be able to pay their heating bill. They know best how to use the money that we're giving them. And the other difference is that we only fund locally run organisations. And that's really important for us, that we're working with small, local, existing organisations that need a boost in their funding to do the work that they're already doing. So here's a map, and I'm sure if you've seen anything of the news in the last probably 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, these places will start to be familiar with you. Some of these names you may never have heard before: Aleppo, Raqqa, Fallujah, Ramadi. These are parts of the Middle East that are suffering so much, aren't they? Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. Especially in the last week, if you've seen the news, you'll have seen so much horrifying footage about Aleppo. And I was just saying to someone just before the service started, seeing those pictures of Aleppo before the war and Aleppo after the war, or as it is now, and just the destruction, the carnage, just the loss of life. I don't know how to imagine the suffering that those people living in Aleppo have been going through. I actually saw on Facebook this week a gentleman called Pete Gregg had rewritten the words of that carol we'd seen, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." He'd written "O Little Town of Aleppo," and I encourage you just to look up what he's written, because those words are really moving, and it just shows us how desperate some people's situations are. For example, here's just a few numbers about what's happening in those areas at the minute. So in Lebanon, the population's really small, 4.5 million. So I think the population of Leeds is about 1 million, maybe slightly less. The population of Lebanon's only 4.5 million, but 1.6 million of those are refugees from Syria. 1.6 million, that's like 1.5 Leeds of extra people going into Lebanon as refugees. 70% of those families going as refugees are below the poverty line. I'm not wonderful at maths, but that's well over 1 million people living below the poverty line there. In Syria, 11 million citizens, more than 12 times the city of Leeds population, have been killed or have left their country in the conflict. 13.5 million in desperate need of humanitarian assistance. Sometimes these numbers boggle us, don't they? And that's why I think sometimes it's helpful to think how big Leeds is, and that's about 1 million people. And here we're saying 14, 15 times that number of people are in desperate need of basic humanitarian assistance: food, clothes, warmth, somewhere to sleep. And it's sometimes too much for us to comprehend, isn't it? But hopefully we can connect in that in some way this evening. And what's worth remembering for us at Christmas time is that Jesus himself was a refugee, wasn't he? He was born in Bethlehem, and he fled with his parents into Egypt. So our Lord, our Saviour that we're here to worship this evening, he knows what it's like to be a refugee in a different country, not his own. So there's a connection there for us as well. I really want to tell you specifically tonight about one of the organisations that Just Acts Middle East is supporting. It's this organisation called Marath. And Marath is the relief and development arm of a much bigger organisation called the Lebanese Society for Educational and Social Development. Now, some of you might remember quite a few years ago, a gentleman called Nabil Costa came here from the Arab Baptist Theological Seminary. I have to get those words right. That is part of this LSESD organisation. And the Marath that I'm talking about here is their specific relief and development arm. It's an Arabic word, and it means inheritance. And it carries with it something of the sense of sonship, something of the sense of blessing. So what Marath are trying to get across to people is that you are loved sons of God. You can receive the blessing of God. You can inherit God's goodness. Their purpose is to empower communities to reach their potential. So that fits really well with the vision and the mission of our charity, Just Acts Middle East. What does this charity do? What does Marath do? It works in these areas here around education. So more than 1,000 Syrian refugees in Lebanon are receiving ongoing education because of the work of this charity. They provide basic assistance to families in Lebanon, in Syria and in Iraq, specifically the refugees, with healthcare, sanitation, basic water, infant milk, all free of charge. They provide food for thousands of households. 5,500 households in Syria they provide food for, and in Iraq and in Lebanon as well. And what a topic here that's really prominent and really powerful in the Middle East is that they're working to prevent gender-based violence and doing that in a way that's providing training to promote gender equality within the refugee community. We know often in the Middle East that the societies are very male-dominated and the women, it's often something around servitude for them. But they're really working to try and break that and to empower women. So obviously, I'm here to tell you about that, but I'm here to really consider doing something to support this organisation this Christmas. Their work and all those thousands of families that we've talked about them supporting with food and basic sustenance, their work depends on donors. And we as a charity give to them, but I really want to encourage you this evening to think about making a donation this evening to support their work. There's a number of ways you can do it. You could go online to our website here. It's very easy to remember, justact.me. That's all you need to know, justact.me. Go on there and you can find how to donate online. Or actually this evening, as you leave, there will be some baskets, and I encourage you, if you have some even loose change, just to consider popping that in there. There'll also be on the desk in there some wooden bowls with a bit more information around our charity, some business cards, some donation forms, some letters about this organisation as well. If you want to take some of those away, do so, or put something in those wooden bowls, do so, and I'll be there as well for you to talk to ask any questions. Or if you want to do that but you don't have any money or you don't have the internet, then here's another way. You can write a cheque, good old-fashioned, old-school cheque, and you can post it to my address here, and I guarantee I'll bank it, I won't pocket it. Okay. Do you know what we read this evening already? We read, didn't we, in that reading, that Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. And I think when we look at the Middle East, across the Middle East, there's so much conflict, and there's so much war and suffering, and there always has been in all my lifetime. And sometimes we think it's too big, and sometimes we think, how can this ever end? Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. He came to be the Prince of Peace. He came for justice. He came to lift up the broken. He came as a light in the dark places. And the New Testament tells us the darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. And we have an opportunity this Christmas to do something to bring the light of Christ into those dark places, to do something to help some of the most destitute and damaged people in the lands where Jesus himself walked. If you give tonight, I thank you, and these people thank you. And your gifts are a small reflection of something of God's gift to us in Jesus. So think tonight, can I bless these people? And consider giving a gift that will really make a difference. Thank you. Why shepherds? Why indeed? They'd cause a stir, being a bit tactless and loud, or even vulgar. They would never be able to keep their mouths shut. Better than Facebook for getting the news out. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I'd like to introduce David Thompson to you. Good evening, David. You've been...
Hello, Jeff.
Choir and conversation.
Oh, yes, a double act tonight.
We've known each other for a number of years in a church context. Have you always been a Christian?
I would say no. I was brought up to go to church, and I was confirmed as a teenager, but I think there was a vital element missing in my understanding of God, and that was a personal faith. I went to Manchester University, and I met Christians there who obviously had a personal faith, and I was invited to the Christian Union my first term, and there I was challenged, and I made a personal commitment to God. And immediately I had a sense of assurance that God had accepted me, and that sense of assurance has always been with me. And life carried on. I found much blessing in marriage, in raising a family, work, friendships, and church life. And I would say that the main thing I would point to is that God has always been leading, and I felt that His way has been the sort of pointer that has guided me through my life. That's just a brief summary. It covers 50 years.
You've had an eventful few weeks. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened to you a couple of months ago?
Right. At the end of October, some of you may know that I had a heart attack. Now, this doesn't sort of happen every day. But I had some tightness in my chest, and this lasted a couple of days. And then in the middle of the night, I fainted. And my wife Phyllis said, I think we better get the ambulance. So I was taken off to the LGI and had an angiogram. And they found there was a clot in one of my arteries. And I was taken through, and some very clever people fiddled about and put a stent in the artery affected. And in no time, I was back on the ward waiting for my breakfast. So since then, I've actually been very well. And the strange thing is that all through this experience, I would say I've not really felt ill, which sounds a bit bizarre when you've had a heart attack.
Has this experience had any impact on how you view life? Has it changed your focus, or...?
I would say yes and no. I would say that God is still very much present, and he's in charge. You don't expect to suddenly have a heart attack when you apparently think you're healthy and relatively fit. But I accept what comes. I was reminded of the uncertainty of life last Sunday when we were looking at Isaiah 40, and this has a wonderful prophecy about the coming of Christ, and we all know the words highlighted in the Messiah, that all glory, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I've sung that a few times. But then it goes on to say, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the words of our Lord stand forever. And this to me summarizes my situation, that we can't predict the future. We're only here for a short time, but in that time we can enjoy every blessing that God gives us. We can lead, hopefully, productive lives, creative lives. There's so many things that we can really enjoy that God's given us. But that's only for a short time.
And for the future, how do you now look into the future?
Well, we won't live forever. We all age. I know plenty of people, friends and colleagues, who have had hip replacements, knee replacements, and have had heart trouble like me. I guess there'll be people here tonight who will be mourning the loss of loved ones during this past year. And it's often the people alongside the suffering ones that suffer as well. So we just have to take one step at a time as regards the future. We don't know what's going to happen. But we have to trust God daily and trust that he will care for us in every situation, in the good times and the bad times. But the message of Christmas is very strong in this, because Christ came not just for now, but for eternity. And the Saviour who was born came to be our Saviour for this life and also for the life to come.
Thank you very much, David. Thank you.
Amen. Why wise men? It may have been months after the birth when the wise men arrived. They had not heard of this new thing that God was doing from a heavenly choir. But as a result of their studies and observations of the stars, was nobody excluded from this good news? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who have been born King of Jews? When we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their home by another route."
Thank you. Hi. Well, now, guys, we've heard these guys sing. We've heard the music group sing. This is your chance to shine. If you are a teenager or lower, could you come to the front and give me a hand? Okay, so if you're in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. If you're at university, but you remember in your dim and distant past when you came to the front and helped people sing Away in a Manger. There is chocolate for those who come forward. Okay, guys, come to the front. Okay, thank you, Sam. All right, guys. So we're going to sing the first verse with the piano. If you let the little people to the front, that will be really cool. Come on, Hannah. Oh, Ben's going to come and give us a hand. I'm sure that'll make a massive difference. Okay, we're going to sing Away in a Manger. Can you help me there, Ben? He says, no, you're not a chance. Okay, so we're going to sing the first verse, and then you guys are going to help us with the second and third, okay? All right, guys, okay.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The baby awakes, the little
Everything comes together at a set time in a particular place. Even the bureaucrats of the political leaders play their part. The town is ready, the parents are ready, even if the room is not ready. Why? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to him, to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you.
What is God trying to communicate to us in this Christmas story? Is there a point to it all? Is God telling us anything about life? Couldn't he write a simple manual for us and maybe keep it to one side of A4? Can God not answer the ultimate questions of life, the universe, and everything, and keep it simple for us? Why this thing about Jesus and Christmas? Well, are things ever really that simple? Have you ever tried giving people instructions? Have you tried giving your children or young people instructions? Or adults, for that matter? There's a story in the Old Testament of God giving his people instructions, and they take no notice whatsoever. They do the opposite. You can read about this in Exodus 32. And God says to Moses, effectively, get out of my way, give me some room, I'm going to destroy these people. They're stiff-necked, they're awkward, they don't listen to me, I've had enough. And Moses steps between God and his people and says, but you couldn't possibly do that. That would be the wrong thing for you to do. You've made a promise. Remember the promise that you made to our ancestors. You couldn't destroy them. What would people say if you destroyed them? You see, God loves us, and it binds him to us. It commits him to us. He could just leave a note on the door and hope that you'd get the point. And when you don't get the point, he could have done with you and move on to somebody else. But that's not how God works. And we have an unfolding story of God at work in the lives of men and women. He rescues, he heals, and he restores. From our earliest history, we have evidence that God is faithful. The Bible talks about him drawing up a covenant, a contract, a promise. And he leaves a trail of evidence that he's keeping this promise. You see, God goes the extra mile. And in the Old Testament, and probably in your lives, there are many illustrations of God being prepared to redeem you, to look after you, and to restore you. God reaches out into our lives. He touches us, and he wants to draw us back into his family. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. But don't think that this is something abstract, something up there, or maybe for other people. And this is why we have a story, a real life situation. And it's not somebody else's story, it's your story. It's God reaching into your life. You might have a busy life, full of lots of worthwhile and important things. Or maybe your life's difficult at the moment, and you think you have reason for feeling sorry and sad the way in which things are going. Maybe your life is sorted out, and you don't need anything. Well, you do need to address the fact that God has regard for you. He remembers you. In fact, he can't get you out of his head. And he sent us his son. Why Jesus? Jesus is the fulfillment of all God's promises to his people. He's the king. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's God's ultimate approach to you. He's the surest sign that God is part of your story. If you want to know more about why Jesus, we've some booklets in the foyer. You'd be welcome to collect one as you leave this evening.
Thank you.
Let me remind you of the refreshments that are available at the end and of the offering as you leave. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.